every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Well, we have nine more holes to go, so how about you two fellas follow me to the pink tee?
On the back nine, hour number two of Real Golf Radio, brought to you by Mountain America Credit Union, with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of Hall of Famer Billy Casper.
Two players down the middle on the tenth hole.
Here's Brian and Bob.
Yeah, thank you very much, and welcome into the back nine. It's hour number two of Real Golf Radio. Ryder Cup recap edition of the show. The caddy and Ian Carter from the BBC were on hour number one. If you missed it, follow us on X at Real Golf. We'll post it there for you. You can also download it where your favorite podcasts are found by searching Real Golf Radio or Golf Radio. On deck coming up here in just a couple of minutes, Greg Allen, RTE Radio Ireland. He was right there on site and gives us a little bit of perspective. An extended conversation with Greg about the Ryder Cup and a little preview to the next Ryder Cup at Adair Manor there in Ireland.
Yep.
Yeah. So stay tuned.
It's going to be cool to see in 2 years them go over to Ireland and hopefully turn the tables and get an away win for the U.S. squad.
Yeah, for the first time since the Belfry in 1993.
Yeah, that's a long time ago, man.
You know, this thing, the Ryder Cup was all Team USA for so long, but it was back when it was Great Britain, then Great Britain and Ireland. Since Team Europe, it's been in favor of the Europeans. There's no question about it. So when you talk about fair fights, maybe it's not a fair fight that Team USA has to take on the whole continent of Europe. Now, we would never, of course, admit to anything like that, and we would welcome the opportunity. But there's more questions than answers coming out of Bethpage for Team USA.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We've discussed just minutely a couple of them, but yeah, there are definitely a lot of questions. And my big thing was, as we were texting on Sunday, watching all of this going on, or Friday or Saturday, watching all of this going on, which big thing are we going to do now to try to get this in line?
A bigger task force?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, to me, it comes down to figuring out the combination. The caddy tried to simplify it and said, there's nothing else to talk about until you tell me how you can putt better. I mean,
yeah. Well, you got to play better, that's for sure.
The caddy is a very analytical guy.
Especially in the teamed competitions on Fridays and Saturdays.
Yeah, and caddy's an analytical guy, so he's going to just sit on that. Here's the thing. You have to create the environment to be able to bring out the best. Those guys aren't
going
to. Let's watch them this week. They're Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood, those guys aren't going to play the same as they did last week in the Ryder Cup. So what is it that the Ryder Cup Europe does to foster the great play? Do they just get hot like the caddy says, or is there something to it? We'll talk about it next.
Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X are the best performing, most consistent in the game. So how does the best get better? You start by listening to the best players in the world. You experiment, iterate, validate. You trust the best process to create the best golf ball the game has ever known. The all-new Pro V1 and Pro V1X. More speed off the tee, more control with your irons, more spin with your wedges, and more opportunity to shoot your lowest scores.
We know how much you love this game. That's why we built the USGA Gin app, presented by Century Insurance.
Let's go. Hey, y'all can hit first.
Yes. It's there for you before, during, and after your round, because it's all about getting the most out of every shot. And even more importantly, your next one. Nice. Yeah. Join connect, enjoy. The USGA Gin app. Experience a better round.
How's it going, everyone? Spencer Reynolds here with Fujikura Golf, and today we're excited to bring you our newest line of performance golf shafts, the all-new Fujikura Pro Series. The Pro naming convention has a rich Fujikura history, and this promises to be the highest performance Pro Series yet, featuring an all-new advanced bend profile design. Advanced bend profile is a design technique where we target specific regions within a section of the shaft and alter stiffness in those sections to increase overall shaft performance. In the all-new Pro Series, Advanced Bend Profile targets the lower region of the midsection, drops the stiffness dramatically to increase kick speed, and a reinforced tip section provides increased stability and consistency at impact. Available in two distinct and overall smooth-feeling profiles, Pro Blue offers players a traditional mid-launch and mid-low spin configuration, while Pro Black focuses on higher ball speed players, delivering a lower launch and lower spin option. Both Pro models are available now, so visit us at FujikuraGolf.com for more product-specific information, locate a charter dealer near you, and get fit for the all-new Fujikura Pro Series.
At Black Desert Resort, everyday living feels like a well-deserved getaway. Immerse yourself in the unique opportunity of ownership nestled among the lava fields and vibrant cliffs of Greater Zion. Spanning 600 acres of scenic desert landscape, our newly built luxury resort offers a range of residences, diverse dining options, year-round outdoor recreation, and world-class spa facilities. Anchoring it all is our signature Tom Weiskopf golf course. Explore the options or book a tour at ownblackdesertresort.com.
With adaptive weighting technology and 33 unique loft and lie settings, Cobra has a driver model for every golfer. Introducing DS Adapt from Cobra Golf. Dial in your game.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian and Bob with you, talking Ryder Cup. Excited to welcome in our next guest from RTE Ireland. He's a golf contributor and a great analyst, one that we respect and revere. Greg Allen joining us right now. Greg, how are you?
Hi, Brian. Hi, Bob.
Always good to have you on the show. So you're fresh back from the Ryder Cup. I know you've been traveling around the globe. Just in an exhale moment, a week removed now, What is your synopsis of what you experienced at Bethpage Black?
Well, I experienced an extraordinary European performance for the first 2 days, and that's very obvious, and an extraordinary comeback, almost comeback, by the Americans, which would have been a record-breaking comeback by a long way on the final day, and played in an atmosphere that was very challenging if you were a European player. Very, very challenging. The most challenging I've experienced in my first Ryder Cup was 1993, and that 1993 Ryder Cup came in the wake of the War on the Shore, so-called War on the Shore in Kiawah Island in 1991, when, you know, it clearly, that was, I suppose, the beginning or the genesis of this very, very high-intensity atmosphere that European teams face when they're away from home. And I always remember at my first Ryder Cup at the Belfry in England in 1993 that both captains, Bernard Gallagher and Tom Watson, they had a joint press conference, or it was the equivalent of a joint press conference, whereby they both wanted to quell any of the bad heckling type of intensity that they had experienced or they had heard about from Kiawah Island in 1991. So that's how far back, you know, this hostility for European teams on American soil has gone back to. Now, I'm sure American teams that come to Europe suffer, you know, some degree of hostility as well, but you know, I don't think it's as hostile as it is for a European team in the United States. And I think a lot of Americans have accepted that, that the level to which the hostility was ramped up to in this particular Ryder Cup. But also, if you go back to Brookline in 1999, I was there as well. I remember going out on the Sunday in Brookline just to watch matches. And I couldn't believe the difference between the first 2 days in Brookline and the last day. It was really... it was quite intimidating to even be a European fan. So, yeah, but at the same time, this is what separates the Ryder Cup from every other golf event on the planet. It has this tribal intensity. And ironically, while it may have spilled over in the European perspective in Bethpage, it is still a unique selling point of the Ryder Cup and why it is so compelling. Ironic that should be the case, but you know, it is the case, and the Ryder Cup continues to thrill.
You know, you mentioned the first couple of days were great for the Europeans, and the U.S. guys came back, you know, in the final round to make it close. It seemed like the Euros really were able to, in those first couple of days, quell the crowd and quiet them down, especially on the first day, as far as with their play. Is that the way to kind of combat what's going on there with the fans?
I think it's one of the reasons why Friday didn't seem like there was nearly the same intensity as we experienced on Saturday. And like the difference was very, very significant. And if you think about it, the first four foursomes matches saw Europe win by 4-3, 5-3, and 5-4. The first three matches were completed before they got to the 15th green. So I think, or 16th green. So I think basically the level of European dominance in the first session almost shocked the crowd into wondering, oh gosh, what's happening here? And it was very hard, I suppose, for the home fans to accept that they were getting absolutely trounced in the first session. And not a lot changed in the second session insofar as Europe won at 2.5 to 1.5. It wasn't as dominant as the opening session of foursomes, but it was still a European victory in the four balls on the first day. And I think that genuinely, you know, pushed the crowd's intentions of making it a hostile atmosphere back on their feet, so to speak, or on their heels, I should say. But come Saturday, it was really, really intense. It was almost like the home fans said, okay, we've got to really root for our team on Saturday in the second series of matches of foursomes and four balls. And they really did ramp up the intensity, and the atmosphere was very hard to play. And yet still, on Saturday, Europe won the first session 3-1, and they won the second session 3-1. I thought it was incredible resilience on Europe's part. And, you know, I think also that on Saturday in the morning foursomes, I'm not 100% sure certain that this is the exact statistic, but I'm pretty sure it's very close. Europe were 22 under for the foursomes on the second day, and the Americans were 16 under. In other words, the Americans played very well. Europe just played better. And in the afternoon four balls, Europe were 36 under against 32 under for the Americans, which meant that both teams played exceptionally well. It's just that Europe on both occasions on Saturday, in spite of the intensity of the atmosphere, just managed to outplay the Americans by enough of a margin to gain a 3-1 advantage in both the morning foursomes and the morning and the afternoon four balls, even though both teams played well. And I think that was shown that by the time it came to the singles on Sunday, that the Americans were primed to play well, and they were no longer, I wouldn't say burdened by a partner, but as individuals in the singles. I mean, what America did was fantastic, really a thrilling comeback, winning six against Europe's one victory. So in the singles, I think we've seen this before. I think we go back to, say, Valderrama in 1997, when Europe had a 10.5 to 5.5 lead after the second day, and they went into the singles, and that also went almost all the way down to the wire. In fact, had Tiger Woods not lost to Costantino Rocca 4-2, America might well have come back from 10.5 to 5.5 down in 1997. So there's no question that come the singles, Europe, no lead is big enough by the looks of things, other than a 12-point lead or whatever. You know, it's an extraordinary phenomenon that the Americans play so much better than the Europeans in singles. But in foursomes and four-ball play, it's really a case of Europe having the advantage most of the time.
Greg Allen, RTE Radio Ireland, joining us. So it was at Bethpage. That phenomenon is, I just can't figure it for the life of me, how the European players, if you just lined them up and said, okay, here's Europe's players, here's Americans' players, I would guess that the margins are fairly minuscule as to the level of play that you would expect out of these players, right? On a week-to-week, any given Sunday, if you want to use that expression. And yet somehow, in the Ryder Cup, this European team is prepared in such a manner that they play above their normal. Justin Rose is a phenomenal player. He doesn't play like that every week. He even said so much in the press conference. I wish I knew what it was. I could, and I would selfishly channel it 25 weeks a year. I don't know how you would even figure this, but how could you explain in any manner how the European team finds a way to rise to that occasion and to play to that level against that level of players, even in the hostility, whether it's at home amongst the home, you know, comfort of the home crowd, or on the road as they did at Bethpage, that just seem to have figured something out that Team USA has yet to figure out.
Well, firstly, I'll come back to the point that match play is an 18-hole sprint, whereas, you know, most players are playing, well, if they're live players, they're playing three rounds of golf before the winner is determined. And in the PGA Tour and on the DP World Tour, they're playing four rounds of golf before a winner is determined. But over 18 holes, strange things happen. And I just go back to what I said there about, you know, Costantino Rocca beating Tiger Woods 4-2 over an 18-hole match. I go back to the 2002 Ryder Cup when Philip Price for Europe beat Phil Mickelson in singles. So almost anything can happen over 18 holes in the sort of hand-to-hand combat of singles, or should say of match play. And that's a factor. The other thing is that Europe gelled together without having to try, without having any gimmicks or necessity to, you know, have some sort of ceremonial kind of get together to feel like they're a brotherhood. They just naturally slot into each other as really, really good partnerships. And also the data analytics of the European team, Eduardo Molinari, the former Ryder Cup player from 2014, he is a data guru. And there's no question that I don't know how good the American data is, but at the same time, Keegan Bradley put together Colin Morikawa and Harris English, which was, according to the data, the 132nd best pairing that he could have, that Keegan could have put together, and he did it in two separate days. So why that's the case, I don't know. But Europe's data was very, very good, and their research was very deep. And before Luke Donald put players together in foursomes and fourballs, he knew whose game was compatible data-wise, and then you have to put them together in terms of their compatibility as people, as just, you know, golfers with a personality. And one of the things about Europe is that there is no individualism in that team room. They're all together. They leave their egos at the door. So he can put together any one of his 12 players with another one and know that they're going to get on. And there's never going to be an issue. Once the data analytics are good, he never has to worry about the personalities mixing well together. And I think Europe do that better. I'm not saying America don't do it well, but Europe do it better because they do it exceptionally well.
That's Greg Allen, RTE Radio Ireland. Stay tuned. We'll more with Greg coming up next right here on Real Golf Radio. This is Brian Taylor. For years, you've heard me talk about getting LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision. I've heard from so many of you who have had the same great experience that I had. It's been 15 years already, and my eyesight is still amazing. I 100% recommend the pros at Hoops Vision for your vision correction needs. Book your free consultation online at hoopsvision.com. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you'll save $1,000 on your LASIK procedure. That's hoopsvision.com. Hoopsvision.com.
My name is Nikki, and I'm a real client of Siegfried & Jensen. They'll help you deal with the insurance companies, get you the treatment you need, really go to bat for you.
We know how to win. If you've been injured, call Siegfried & Jensen.
They will absolutely take 100% care of you.
Say hello to 4U Banking from Zions Bank, customized banking that's all about you and the way you bank. Like credit cards. Experience 4U Banking today at a Zions Bank branch or visit zionsbank.com/4U to learn more. Credit card accounts are subject to credit approval. Certain terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See the consumer credit card agreement and disclosure statement for more details. Offers are available for new credit card accounts only and subject to change at any time. A division of Zions Bank Corporation, NA member FDIC.
At Uinta Golf by Worldwide Golf, we love the game of golf just like you. We're here for golfers because we know golf like no one else. Since 1971, your local Uinta Golf by Worldwide Golf has been the trusted partner on and off the course, providing reliable expertise you can count on. With over 60 years of experience and our legendary 90-day guarantee, we've always been here to help you get there. Uinta Golf by Worldwide Golf. Get there.
Golf Course Green starts with good irrigation. Pros and golf course superintendents agree. You should turn to Mountainland Supply for your turf irrigation needs. Mountainland Supply is the exclusive Rainbird Golf distributor in Utah. And what does that mean to you? When you need irrigation products for your lawn, you can trust that Mountainland Supply will have what you need. Plus, Mountainland can assist you in designing your sprinkler system with smartphone controllers, drip irrigation, pipes, parts, and tools. Go to MountainlandSupply.com to find the location nearest you.
My name is Taylor, and I'm a real client of Siegfried & Jensen. They helped us to feel the reassurance we needed. They helped point us in the right direction, and they made this experience incredible.
Here for you whenever and wherever you need us.
Call Siegfried & Jensen.
Everyone needs a checking account, so get the one with built-in benefits to complement your unique lifestyle. Mountain America's MyStyle Checking has perks no one can pass up. You'll enjoy sizzling restaurant deals, peace of mind mobile phone protection, timely telehealth access, built-in identity protection, and clutch loan rate discounts. Make MyStyle your lifestyle at Mountain America Credit Union. Visit macu.com/mystyle. Insured by NCUA. Membership required based on eligibility. Some benefits require no cost registration or activation. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Talking Golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, continuing now with Greg Allen, RTE Radio Ireland, talking Ryder Cup from his perspective. And Greg, we're just talking about the brilliance of Team Europe. Is this the best European Ryder Cup team ever?
Yeah, I think it is. One of the reasons for that, I think, is that they could bring back all 11, you know, from the match in Rome. And so many of those players are now better players than they were in Rome. I think Ludwig Åberg and Bob McIntyre would be the best example of that. They were rookies in Rome 2 years ago, but they come back now as much more complete players. Certainly Rory McIlroy is probably a better player now than he was in 2023. Tommy Fleetwood is just amazing as his development as a player this year. So I think players coming from the 2023 team, which was already a very good team, was in general better this time. And 11 of them from that team in Rome had all the experience. So, and they also had that level of knowing each other really well and having bonded together in Rome, that it was no difficulty to bond together in Bethpage. And not that it ever was going to be that case, but it was even more sort of entrenched that they would be a really good band of brothers, so to speak. What does Justin Rose say? He says he plays for the boys and the badge. And I think it's a brilliant analogy. It's a brilliant analogy, you know?
Yeah, it is. That's really cool. Okay, so 2027, 2 years away. Going to Ireland, going to your home country. Golf course at Adair Manor. Tell us a little bit about that course. And also tell us if you think that Luke Donald's going to remain.
Well, I think there's a very strong chance that Luke Donald will remain. And there's one really good reason for that. If he does remain and if he does win at home, which is, you know, probably even the bookies at this stage, even though they make the Americans the favorites almost every time, because, you know, in the world rankings, the American players are tend to be better than the European players in terms of their world ranking. But I think Luke Donald would be, you know, the most successful European captain in history if he captains three consecutive Ryder Cup victories. And I'm just wondering, you know, at this point in his life, at this point in his career, if that really would be something that would mark him down as an historic figure in the game, a former world number one who's also the most successful Ryder Cup captain in history. That's quite a cocktail of a CV to have. And I wonder if I think Europe will want him back. Europe also has had, you know, a lot of potential captains who have gone to the LIV series. So they're kind of off the list of potential captains. I'm talking about, you know, Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood, Graham McDowell, obviously Henrik Stenson. So, you know, there isn't this queue of captains as there have been over the years to take over from the previous captain in Ryder Cups and on the European side of things. And they can afford to give Luke another go at the captaincy. Because I think that Justin Rose would be, for me, if he is no longer the player that he is now, in 2 years' time, he would be the next sort of best option as a captain. And I think that would be a seamless transition. But I think Rose may have serious aspirations of making the team in 2 years' time in Adair. Look at how well he played in this one. Why not?
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, will it be Luke or Justin Rose? My money would be probably more on Luke at the moment because of that potential to make history. And you asked me about the course. I can tell you that Adair Manor is going to be a piece of American golf course design dropped into the west of Ireland, because that's exactly what it is. It's a Tom Fazio design course. It's got the hallmarks of how Augusta is set up, and the agronomy is very in the northern hemisphere, wet part of the world, like we have here by comparison to Augusta. It's as near as you get to Augusta. The design cues are extraordinarily similar. Now, nothing will be like Augusta, but it is a very, very good golf course. Originally designed by Robert Trent Jones Sr., the original layout was, I thought, a terrific course. And then they took out about, I believe they took out 4,000 trees so that they could grow this, you know, extremely even sort of American-like, very high-end golf course turf, because obviously the less trees there are, the more air there is that flows, and thereby you get a lot of really, really fine, you know, high-end grass growth, which is really at the moment in Adair. They are, I think, reskinning the course, so to speak, with a brand new agronomy, and it'll be all geared towards something in 2 years' time called the Ryder Cup. So it'll be a piece of American golf course design dropped into Ireland, and that'll obviously suit the Americans, I think, more so than the Europeans. But I don't think Europe will be too worried about that.
I don't think so. I think they're feeling pretty comfortable right now. But hey, Greg, thanks for the insights. We appreciate it as always, true professional. And apologize for whatever insults you had to endure last week. It is unfortunate. Hopefully, we can get a little. Hopefully, it's not the story, because there was such amazing golf that was played by the Europeans over the first 2 days, as you pointed out, and an amazing display of golf by the Americans in a comeback attempt. It's unfortunate that the decorum of the fans and the behavior, the rude behavior, is so much a part of the story. Love the passion of the Ryder Cup, but we don't need to have it turn ugly. And hopefully both sides will kind of get on top of that and change the momentum just a little bit. Because if we continue to push the envelope year after year, or I should say match after match, it's who knows where it'll be in four or 6 years from now, right? So
I really hope, you know, that when the matches come to Ireland, that it's a respectful, but also, you know, high intensity atmosphere, but that it's respectful. I'm curious to know is what you guys thought about the fact that the match was played in the atmosphere that it was in New York. From your perspective?
Yeah, no, it's look,
yeah.
You want, I mean, American sports fans love a situation where there's intense fan behavior, right? Where you know where it's, you're just rooting as it's so loud and you can feel the energy. I've been in stadiums, whether it's college football or NBA or NFL, and you feel the intensity of that, right? That's a rush. I've always hated the ugly side of, you know, what happens against the other team. Look, put as much passion as you want to or you're capable of into cheering your team on. You don't need to put that into, and it's even okay to be somewhat, not at Augusta, of course, but it's okay to be excited or happy when the opponent misses a putt. But the personal hurling of insults, the vulgar language, throwing things, you know, especially attacking family members, to me is extremely uncalled for, and it's embarrassing, and we should never have that.
Yeah, Bob, of course, your dad would have played Ryder Cup, so I'm sure he would have had a perspective on it if he was still around.
Well, I think, you know, the passion of playing for your country was one of the things that my dad relished in. He loved that opportunity to do it. You know, and he played on eight of those teams and captained one. And, you know, it was... a pure love of his life being able to compete into that. And he felt that there shouldn't be anything like the ugliness that has transpired over the last little bit with the Ryder Cup. But he also didn't envision it to get as heated or as big as it is right now, that it was, you know, initially a friendly competition. And now it's become really, really difficult.
Yeah, I go back to 1969 and that famous concession that Jack Nicklaus gave to Tony Jacklin. I know it was only a 2-foot putt, but that type of spirit of the matches it would be like it'd be lovely if the crowd could adhere to that on both sides, you know. Yeah. But at the same time, without the, I think an intensity is part of what the Ryder Cup is going to be. I don't mind, you know, crowds cheering a missed putt, you know, whatever. But you know, but it's when it gets to the level of mm-hmm. abuse, you know, really vicious yep. personal yep. abuse. That is the real issue that's at stake right here, right now.
Well, and quite frankly, Greg, I think it's spilling over from the rest of our culture. You know, I mean, there's such a political, you know, heat, you know, and going both ways. You know, it just feels like there's so much division, you know, in our daily lives that I think sometimes that just tends to spill over. I think social media fuels the flames. And, you know, I could get, I don't want to get on a high horse here, but, you know, it just feels like there's bigger issues. And unfortunately, it manifests itself in some of our favorite events. The Ryder Cup is my all-time favorite sporting event. And it saddens me that it's gotten to this point, to be honest with you.
Well, I'd love anybody who's listening to come to Adair and listen to the songs that the European fans prepare. They have humor and they have, there's a lot of needle in the songs, but it doesn't spill over into anything that's unacceptable. So if anybody thinks that it's just as bad in Europe as it was in Bethpage, please come to Adair. We're not like that here. Honestly, it'll be intense and there'll be a bit of needle, but it won't be like that.
Well, and here's the thing is, I remember growing up thinking, gosh, I hate these guys, these European players, you know, because I never see them. I didn't know them, and they're beating my favorite players. And hate is used relative to the sporting competition. I didn't know them at all, as I pointed out. Here's the problem. Here's the thing that I find so interesting today. Everybody that is a PGA Tour fan, if you ask them who their favorite players were, you'd probably go down the list of the European Ryder Cup team, right? Like for every other week of the year. My guess is they're cheering for Rory. They're cheering for, I know Rahm's not on the PGA Tour, but when he was, you know, Justin Rose and Fitzpatrick won at Brookline. I mean, there's just like very popular players, right? I mean, Oberg, if I had to switch places with somebody right now, I would switch places with Ludvig Oberg. Why wouldn't you? I mean, the kid's got everything, right? He's tall, he's athletic, he's got a great golf game. And you, these guys are just fun. I think Bobby Mack is one of the great characters. You know, Shane Lowry's the guy I would want to hang out with at the 19th hole or anywhere, right? He just seems like such a fun guy. And so it's wild to me that the fans would turn so viciously against players that are likable and fun and otherwise extremely popular. That's sort of the irony of it.
Yeah, and the way that Tommy Fleetwood's victory in the Tour Championship was greeted with such, you know, great glee, because it was the end of his dearth of being able to win in America. And Rory McIlroy's victory in the Masters seemed very popular, but yeah,
yes.
But put them out in the Ryder Cup and they were the subjected to abuse. That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah, it's wild.
Those
stuff.
New Yorkers.
Well, I'm not going to put it all on the New Yorkers. I actually love the New Yorkers, but it definitely got a little. You know what? Like I said, there's other issues I think that are fueling all this, and we won't waste time on our show talking about that. But good stuff, Greg. Thank you very much for your time and insights. Always a pleasure to talk golf with you, my friend.
And always great to talk to you guys. See you, Brian.
Thanks,
see you,
Greg.
Bob.
We'll talk to you soon. Greg Allen, RTE Radio Ireland, just a true professional, does a great job, and always appreciate his time. We'll take a break. More discussion on the Ryder Cup here on Real Golf Radio next.
Everyone needs a checking account, so get the one with built-in benefits to complement your unique lifestyle. Mountain America's MyStyle Checking has perks no one can pass up. You'll enjoy sizzling restaurant deals, peace of mind mobile phone protection, timely telehealth access, built-in identity protection, and clutch loan rate discounts. Make MyStyle your lifestyle at Mountain America Credit Union. Visit macu.com/mystyle. Insured by NCUA. Membership required based on eligibility. Some benefits require no cost registration or activation. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
My name is Taylor, and I'm a real client of Siegfried & Jensen. They helped us to feel the reassurance we needed. They helped point us in the right direction, and they made this experience incredible.
Here for you whenever and wherever you need us.
Call Siegfried & Jensen.
Golf Course Green starts with good irrigation. Pros and golf course superintendents agree. You should turn to Mountainland Supply for your turf irrigation needs. Mountainland Supply is the exclusive Rainbird Golf distributor in Utah. And what does that mean to you? When you need irrigation products for your lawn, you can trust that Mountainland Supply will have what you need. Plus, Mountainland can assist you in designing your sprinkler system with smartphone controllers, drip irrigation, pipes, parts, and tools. Go to MountainlandSupply.com to find the location nearest you.
Say hello to 4U Banking at Zions Bank, customized banking that's all about you and the way you bank. Whether you're looking to open a new checking account or simply save for the future, we're ready to help with banking that's meant for you. Experience 4U Banking today at your local Zions Bank branch or visit zionsbank.com/4U to learn more. Please refer to the deposit account agreement, account disclosure, deposit rate sheet, and personal account schedule of fees available in the online agreement center or speak with a banker for more details. A division of Zions Bank Corporation, NA member FDIC.
Right now is the perfect time to check out the all-new Black Desert Resort in St. George. You can stay. You can play. Enjoy one of the many restaurants that are open to serve you, like the fun sports atmosphere at the 20th hole or the finest steakhouse experience at Basalt. Play the Tom Weisskopf Championship Golf Course, home to the PGA and LPGA Tours. Take on the massive 36-hole putting course and enjoy luxury your way at Black Desert Resort. Book your experience at blackdesertresort.com.
My name is Nikki, and I'm a real client of Siegfried & Jensen. They'll help you deal with the insurance companies, get you the treatment you need, really go to bat for you.
We know how to win. If you've been injured, call Siegfried & Jensen.
They will absolutely take 100% care of you.
This is Brian Taylor. For years, you've heard me talk about getting LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision. I've heard from so many of you who have had the same great experience that I had. It's been 15 years already, and my eyesight is still amazing. I 100% recommend the pros at Hoops Vision for your vision correction needs. Book your free consultation online at hoopsvision.com. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you'll save $1,000 on your LASIK procedure. That's hoopsvision.com. Hoopsvision.com.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Thanks to Greg Allen from RTE Radio Ireland for joining us there. Hope you enjoyed those two segments. A really productive conversation. I didn't want to overdo the high horse of saying, look, yep, we've got contention in our country in so many different ways, and we need to work on that so that it doesn't get ugly in things that we love, whether it's going to church, going to a sporting event,
yeah,
you know, walking around the park, driving on the freeway,
yep,
or simply scrolling through social media.
Yeah.
There's so many things. And again, I'm not going to take the opportunity. You can find those answers and resolutions other places. We're going to talk golf, but I'm with Greg and with Bob on this one. We all stand in the same way saying, This is unacceptable behavior. There's no reason to get ugly. It's okay to be passionate. It's okay to get, yes, crazy. No reason to get ugly. And I'm not pointing fingers at any one person. I don't think this is the New Yorker's fault. I don't know that this is the Americans' fault or the Europeans. It's just everything has gotten so fever pitched. And I love that, but got to have a little bit of control here. So
yeah, definitely.
All right, let's go. Let's do some grading, Bob, because we have, okay, talked. We just talked a lot about the crowd. We've talked about, you know, the near comeback with Sunday singles. We've talked about the dominant play by Team Europe over the first couple of days, what might be missing from Team USA. All to summarize, is it heart? Is it meaning? Is it skill? Is it camaraderie? I don't think it's those things. I loved what Greg said when it just says that the boys fit together more easily,
yeah,
more naturally.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have to force it. Doesn't it feel a little forced, Team USA trying to, like, even the patriotism, and don't get me wrong, I don't think there's any greater thing than patriotism and playing for your country. But in fairness, is it too much for these guys? Like, is it too heavy? Does it become almost such a large burden that it almost, I mean, you heard Dave Stockton talk about how he couldn't believe how emotional your parents were during the, yeah, Star Spangled Banner back in the day. Is that a little too much for these guys to be able to take on and be able to play their best golf? Just straight up curious answer.
Question. Listen, it's a different time in the world right now than it was back during the time that Dave Stockton played and my dad played and that kind of stuff. And patriotism was a huge thing. And there was a lot to be said about that. I'm not saying it's not a huge thing right now, but with all the different influences, golf, with the amount of money they play for, all that kind of thing, I think it's just, it's a different time, a real different time in the game of golf. So having said that, it's, I think we are geared towards a more singles type of a match play or singles type of a play in the game here on the PGA Tour. Okay. Having said that, I think it's difficult to bring guys together to play those Friday and Saturday four ball and foursome matches. And that needs to be paramount over the next couple of years, trying to figure out by pairings and events, by having some off-course events where you can get guys together and you can play some matches, kind of like what they talked about in maybe, yeah, we have the President's Cup and the Ryder Cup, but like those are two foreign entities. There's not a lot of common ground. And, you know, it, like Ian Carter said, it should help the U.S. team find some continuity, but it doesn't help the U.S. team find continuity. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what task force they're going to come up with to try to find the answer, but it seemed like we were on good footing at Whistling Straits, and then it went off the rails when we went to Italy and also when they came back here to New York.
So it's a different team. You know, one of the things that
doubt.
Well, the Europeans, one of the things that I tried to glean little bits of what Luke Donald would say or Rory would say when asked what made it so successful. They talked about a returning captain. They talked about having 11 of the 12 players.
Yeah.
They have built-in teams and belief in those teams that they can put out. There was a time when we had some of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like as of late, we've been searching for who are those teams.
Yeah.
Spieth and Patrick Reed, they were a force. We went through all these records. Like, but who was our teams coming in here? Cantlay and Schauffele, you know, that was the team, right? And they did win the first, they got the only point in the, you know, on Friday morning. But where's the other teams? I mean, wasn't Sam Burns put on that team because he was buddies with Scottie Scheffler? They never even played together.
And Russell Henley and Scottie Scheffler played well in the President's Cup.
But
together.
They both made the team on points. Burns was put in to be Scottie's guy and for his putting.
And also exactly for his putting.
Right. But that didn't prove out because he wasn't put in an environment where he could be his. Everything feels like a struggle when the Team Europe just seems to be freewheeling it. And so there's something there. I look at, you know, again, we need to find some continuity. We need to find a system that the guys feel comfortable. And I just don't know. When you hear what Greg says, that Justin Rose plays for the boys and the badge, that there's not a lot of patriotism around. Like, are they really – is there patriotism around Europe? Or is it just more of a – they want to win it for their band of brothers, the guys that went before them and the guys that will come after them and the guys that are playing with them now?
Yeah.
They love that. Let me finish. And they justify, or they want to justify or legitimize themselves as players. And they do that through the Ryder Cup. Because as Greg said, you can't have a complete European resume or CV, as they say, unless you have a Ryder Cup record. And that's what that means to them. I don't think it's that big a deal. I don't think one American player would say that their major championship win paled in comparison to winning the Ryder Cup. They just don't.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that's okay. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying it's different, and maybe that's what makes them so successful.
The thing that was important about what those guys said too, Ian Carter and Greg Allen, both said, this is huge for their tour in Europe. Okay. Our tour here in the United States is the best tour in the world. And I don't think it's that important to the players to help build up the PGA Tour like it is to the Europeans to help build up possibly their DP World Tour and where they've come from.
We'll follow the money.
Yeah.
The PGA Absolutely. Tour is not invested. The PGA Tour gets nothing from the Ryder Cup.
That's right. So that's why they went to the President's Cup.
The PGA Tour, also, why would the PGA Tour then put any sort of events in place to help foster success in the Ryder
exactly.
Cup?
Exactly.
When I'm sure there's probably some jealousy that the biggest event in the game of golf, well, look, there is jealousy. We know that. The five yes. biggest events, the five biggest events in golf have nothing
to do with the PGA
Tour. That's right. The PGA Tour has no ownership in them. We're talking the yep. four majors and the Ryder Cup. The PGA yep. Tour has nothing, right? Augusta, PGA of America, USGA, that and the DP World Tour. Those are the guys.
RNA.
RNA. They DP World Tour with the PGA on the Ryder Cup and RNA on the, yeah. Those are the groups that have the biggest events. And so you're taking players from an organization that technically doesn't benefit from the Ryder Cup. And you expect mm-hmm. them to be all in on that. It's interesting. It's complicated, but it's interesting. Okay, before we run out of time, I think we'll continue talking about this for many, many days and weeks to come. But let's go through Team Europe and drop some grades, right? Because
okay.
it's real easy. I mean, there's a whole lot of this looks like yeah. this looks like the advanced class because they're all getting A. Well, most of them are getting A's in this thing.
They're getting wins.
Yeah. Let's start with Tommy Fleetwood. I mean, he was the creme de la creme, right? 4-1-0. Yep. Tough to say. I mean, A+. I mean, Tommy lost the singles match, but he gave it all he had too.
Yeah, he gave it all he had, and he maximized his points early on, that helped the European squad to win the Ryder Cup. So yeah, A plus. Tommy Fleetwood is a phenomenal Ryder Cupper, and he's shown it time and time again.
Played all five matches. Tyrrell Hatton, the only one without a loss. Well, Shane Lowry didn't have a loss either. He went 1-0-2. So you going 3-0-1 with Hatton or 1-0-2 with Lowry as your next best? Or are you going 3-1-1 with Tyrrell Hatton?
Yep. I think Tyrrell Hatton definitely. Like you said, he garnered 3.5 points. So he's got to be an A for me on that squad as well.
Justin Rose was the emotional leader. I think there's no question about that. He led the way. 2-1. He did lose his singles match. But that's interesting. Look at the damage Justin Rose did in only playing two times. He just played four ball matches. He didn't play foursomes.
That's correct. And there was an idea behind all of that. But Justin Rose, a guy that's, you know, getting to that point to where he could be considered a captain, possibly for 2 years from now, but Justin Rose definitely played some phenomenal golf and he gets an A in my book too.
I don't think that the European squad will do Justin the way that the PGA of America did Keegan, because I think there's a good chance Justin Rose is playing in Ireland and they don't want to take that chance of blowing that for him. So I think, I think you might see Justin Rose captaining in 4 years time back here in team
back in, here in the US.
In the US. Yeah. Give me some other guys there that you want to go through. We'll just go Ludvig Åberg, 2-2.
Yeah, 2-2. You know, he garnered 2 points. You know, each one of these guys that we're talking about, they got points. Rasmus Højgaard was probably the worst of the worst for the European squad, who lost 2 points. But, you know, he wasn't playing well and probably didn't have I don't know if I want to say this, but he didn't have somebody that he could feel comfortable with.
And Sepp Straka was 1-2. He was probably the other one that's disappointing. Yep. Justin Rose 2-1. John Rahm 3-2. Rory 3-1-1. McIntyre 1-1-1. Lowry 1-0-2. Hovland 1-1-1.
Matty Fitz 2-1-1,
coming off of a 1-7 record. That was super impressive.
1-7 in his first two.
Now, I will tell you this, Ludvig Åberg was 1-2 going into Sunday singles, and I would have said he was underperforming, but he got Team Europe's only full point in the Sunday singles, which is remarkable. So I think that was important. That was very, very important to them in stifling the comeback. And so I think that is enough to boost him. His Sunday win was enough to boost him to an A. All right, let's go to Team USA. It starts with Cam Young. I mean, the New Yorker. Wow, how good did he play? 3-1-0.
Yeah, Cam Young was as far for me as cream of the crop for the U.S. side in what he was able to do there. I just don't understand why he wasn't the first guy out every time.
Could have played one more. I'm with you on that one.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
And I guess The next one you have to go to is Justin Thomas. Is that where you'd go next? Justin Thomas, 2-2, or do you go JJ Spahn 2-1-0?
You know, I like both of them. Justin Thomas, with the two losses, I think you give the nod a little bit to JJ Spahn. And the interesting thing is now you've got two guys that played the best that were both captain's picks, but JJ Spahn wins two matches, loses one. And like you said, Justin Thomas 2-2-0, but Justin Thomas was huge to be able to put Cameron Young under his wing and carry him along as a veteran for Ryder Cups.
Yeah, Xander Schauffele, 3-1, probably needs to get a little bit more of attention. He was a big question mark coming in. Hadn't had the best year, but he's definitely stepped up with a 3-1-0.
Yep, absolutely. So a head-scratcher was Scottie Scheffler losing his first four, and he played five matches and only got one in singles. So
and Bryson DeChambeau won 3-1. So your top two guys, and Justin Thomas, if you want to put him in there, as the top three guys. You know, with that record, you're looking at 3-4-9-1. 4-9-1 from your top three guys. That's
and the guy that we had questions about was Xander Schauffele, and he got 3 points.
That's right.
So
Harris English 0-2-1, the half point coming with the concession, with the envelope. Ben Griffin 1-1. I thought Ben I thought Ben played pretty darn good, and he only got two matches out there. Maybe he should have seen a little bit more action. The big question mark, of course, was, you know, putting Morikawa and Harris English out there
together twice.
They were both 0-2-1, and Russell Henley 0-2-1. But look, Russell Henley was teamed with Xander Schauffele, or excuse me, Scotty Scheffler, who went 1-4-0. Yeah. Bottom line is, you got to have, as they said, as Paul McGinley said, you got to have your big guns firing. And Europe had their big guns firing, and Team USA didn't. So there you go. Hope you enjoyed the recap of the show. Much more on the Ryder Cup as we continue throughout the rest of the season. Thanks to all those who joined us. Dave Glauser is our producer. For Bob Casper, I'm Brian Taylor. We'll see you next week right here on